But I want a Holy Ghost hurricane that will blow away the dross of religion and pride until we see Jesus high and lifted up in every church and every home in Charlotte County, and all touched with household salvation. Get ready, get ready, get ready. It's going to happen in Charlotte County.
Greetings and welcome to the Family Worship Center Media Ministry, coming to you from the Family Worship Center in St. George, New Brunswick, Canada. If you would like a copy of today's message or any other message from this ministry, you can contact the church office at area code 506-755-3759 or contact Pastor Eric Oram at Oram, that's O-R-A-M, Eric@gmail.com. Now let's join in with our pastor for today's message.
You know, it's amazing how the Lord just speaks into our spirit man, and without knowing where we're going at this time, He just spoke to my heart, you've never been this way before. And so I believe that is a pretty broad subject, and I just want to zero in very succinctly on one particular area today. And Lord wants to speak to us as a church this morning, but also as individuals. And for some of you, it's going to be personal and private how God would speak to you through this word. And I just want to read Joshua chapter 3 and 1 through 5. Joshua 3, 1 through 5. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was, after 3 days, that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place. You shall set out from your place when you see the Ark in the presence of God, and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, or consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I like that, don't you? So the story of Joshua is very relevant in the life of the Christian. And we will arrive at this place in our walk with the Lord, all of us, sometime during our walk, we will arrive at the same kind of place that Joshua arrived at with the people of God. The exodus of the children of God from Egypt to the place prepared for them is an excellent parallel of where He is moving His body at this present time, and the prescribed way of arriving at the place He has prepared for us. The journey here began with Moses and 3 million people leaving Egypt. That was supposed to be a 10-day journey, but it took 40 years. That sounds familiar to some of us that lived that long. But some of us went around the mountain a few times. Amen? And before we arrived at the place of enlightenment and truth, our worldview finally changed, though. And the place that God has brought you to, of experiencing more of Him, His promises, and walking a life of victory and full of excitement and expectation and hope and all of that, before you arrived at the place, it was there all the time. The place was there all the time, but you were not. The place was ready, but you are not. And there is something that must be ready in you for the place. There has to be something in us that gets ready for the place that He's prepared for us. During the 40 years, God had to get rid of some stuff. The children of Israel just wandered around the mountain time and time again. And they mimic and parallel and shadow what our experiences in coming out of Egypt from the world and serving the Lord. And so we take great experience from that. We get great revelation from that. And so God, in this wandering in the journey by the people that left out of Egypt, there's things that God had to reveal to them and had to get rid of. There were haters and there were complainers. And in their case, they all drank from the river, though. See, here's the thing. They all drank from the river of God. This phenomenal miracle, God provided water for them. And all of them drank from that river. But you know what? They died in the wilderness. And that's the thing that we ought to know today. That you can sit in the comfort of the flow of the Spirit of God. You can sit and be involved in even the river of God being poured out and amongst the people and so on. Maybe your parents or whoever can be experiencing this, but there's a caution that we never take our eyes off Jesus, we never take our eyes off the prize, and we never lose sight of the vision that he's given us, or else there's a possibility that the consequences will be great. So all of those people that actually left Egypt, some would say about 3 million, you know, only two of them actually went into the promises, experienced the promises of God fulfilled. They died in the wilderness. So the key for Joshua and company was the ark of his presence. We talk about his presence, and we pursue him. We believe that he's showing up. He's revealing himself. But how many know there's more? How many know that God, if God were to pour out of himself to the degree to which he can, then we might show up. We may be hiding our face in the carpet. We may be on our face. We may be saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, even though we're saved. If he poured out of himself to that degree. God's holiness is actually kind of frightening. Because the wretchedness of our sinful flesh. And when we come up against the holiness and the purity of God, without the blood of Jesus being applied, and it's applicable on a daily basis. Not that our salvation is not secure, but if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and a provision that's made because he knows we're going to sin. We're going to fail. So he made provision for that. Thank you, Jesus. And that's why he said, my mercies are new every morning. Why would I need them tomorrow morning? It was all done today. Because you know what? I have a propensity to sin. Thank you, Lord. I felt like Billy Graham then. Wow. Thank you, Lord. So the glory cloud, it's coming in here. Pastor Matt and Michelle, you may have experienced it over at on the West Coast. I mean, I remember my daughter's, Dad, go online and see this. They posted it. Glory cloud actually showed up in the sanctuary, right? Over at the school, Bill Johnson's fellowship there. But I believe God is not restricted to the West Coast. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And I believe that he's getting ready to do a phenomenal thing in this region, in this area. And so we're going to see it just as soon as we are ready to recognize him. He will show up. Yeah. See, the saddest thing is when God begins to show up and nobody recognizes him. That's the saddest thing. And he comes in ways that stretches our flesh. He comes in ways that kind of destroys your posture of pride. Or there's no room for self-preservation when the glory of the Lord shows up. Amen? There's no room for that. And so we have this tendency not to recognize who he is, because when he shows up, it destroys the intellectual ability of man. You can't figure it out. You can't explain it. You can't find it in a dictionary, but it's some good. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So Joshua said, when you see God's presence, I just read it to you. Joshua said, now folks, when you see God's presence, then move. Verse 3, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall move from your place and go after it. Press in, seek the Lord. It's not always geographic though. You see that? You see, we can say, well, let's go to California. No, it's not necessarily geographic. Sometimes he shows up in a place. But you know what? All we need to do is pursue him. Yeah. and acknowledge Him. We've sensed His presence. We've seen the moving and the blowing. We've heard the sound of the wind in the tops of the mulberry tree, haven't we? We have. But all we got to do now is, okay, I'm going to pursue Him. I'm not slacking back. I'm not going to say, no, that was nothing. No, that was only some charismatic fuddle-duddle. No. This is the presence of God showing Himself faithful, and that He wants to commune and fellowship with us. And once we recognize Him, He says, I can trust these people. I'm going to pour more of Myself out among them. Thank You, Lord. They were to keep a distance between them and the Ark of the Covenant. As it, you know, I don't know if you well you know the story, but here they are, these that were born in the desert. I mean, still millions of people, probably two and a half million people. There they were. They got born for that 40 years. The parents all died. They were stubborn. And so those youth, everybody coming out of the wilderness into the promises of God, I don't even like this, but they were 20 years old or younger. Somebody said they were all under 20 years old, and only two old fogies got in. Wow. Ain't me, though. I'm with the youth. I'm with you youngins in Jesus' name. And they went into the promises of God, but here they were at this crossing of the Jordan before they could actually step into the promised land. And so here was the raging Jordan overflowing its bank at harvest time, and so God through Joshua saying, now here we got to cross over this, and the people were on the other side for 3 days waiting for the word to get up and to move out. And they said, well, look, now the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God is resident, when the priests carry this Ark of the Covenant and put the soles of their feet, their shoes into the water. Now that took faith, didn't it? To put the soles of their feet in the water. Then the water is going to back up. But what you have to do, you 3 million people, you keep your eyes on the prize. You keep your eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. You when you see the Ark of the Covenant, get ready to move out and follow the presence. Follow the presence. And the reason you do that, why do we have to keep a distance from it though? Why? One was to respect the holy nature of God, and it was also to make sure everyone, get this, everyone, nobody excluded. This is not an exclusivity club, right? This is not, the pastor is somebody high and mighty. No, the pastor is the lowest in the church. He's your servant, and we are all servant to each other. This is not, I got it and you can't get it. No, it's whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. Amen? And so, but why is this presence 2,000 cubits away? It's that way because everyone can get a clear view. Everyone can see it. Everyone gets the revelation, amen? There's nobody left out. You can get it. All you got to do is look to Him. And when they look, they could see which way to go. Once you see the Ark of the Covenant representing His presence, if you can see it, you can have it. If you want to turn a blind eye, then God will permit you to do that. But you know what? If you want to see truth and embrace it, you can have it. Yeah. You can see it. It's 2,000 cubits away, but don't get offended by that. It's strategic that you get a glimpse of where He's going, and He's my provider, and He's my guider. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. You know, really, somebody coined this phrase, and I kind of like it. Now, it's not a perfect phrase in every situation, but it's about caught more than taught. Now, that's paraphrased in my language, but they say it a little bit different. But if you can catch this truth and see it and follow Him. See, I can try to talk you into it all day and never get anywhere with it. But if you can see it, it's 2,000 cubits ahead. So with 2 million people, it has to be. So they can see which way the ark is going. And that way they're all going to know how to get there, how to follow. See, I could try to teach you something, but you won't get it. But once you see it, you follow me? Once you see it, you're going to catch it. You're going to know which way to go if you can only see it. But if you can't see it, you're going to try to remember what I taught you. And you may not really agree with me because this is man to man. But when by the Spirit of God, presence of God, he reveals it to you and you see it, you know which way to go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. They were to keep this distance. We need his presence and guidance because something is about to happen here, folks, that we never experienced before. All must see, not just leaders. All must see because you've not passed this way before. Now, you can easily cling to secure places known to you from the past. That's comfort. That's the comfort zone that we have to be stretched to experience the new zone. Amen? We resort back to that. And some people may have got the little dander up there when I said that. Maybe you feel a little twinge of something. Who are you, Newfie? What are you saying? Where you come from, Newfie? You're saying we've never been that way before. Did I hear that? Maybe not. Because you know what? You're the best church in Atlantic Canada. I couldn't have heard that. But just in case the devil whispers it to you between now and then, I want you to know something. You've not been this way before. You've not been. No. He's doing a new thing. God's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. Yes. God can't do the same old, same old. He's too creative. He can't make two fingerprints the same thing. What's so important about that, like 2,000 years ago, 6,000 years? I mean, why is it God made every... I mean, it's not that important, is it? I mean, who's going to care? I haven't seen your fingerprints lately. Can I see them? No, it's not important, right? But God in his providence and wisdom, his creativity. He couldn't make two alike. And so everybody's... That's God. You tell me he's going to do repetition? No, he's always got something fresh and new. If it's God, it's going to be stretching because it's not same old, same old. He's doing a new thing. Hallelujah. And you know, it takes some dying to self, doesn't it? It's kind of stretching. Come on. We like our old places. We do. So we need his presence and guidance. The children of Israel were told that when they saw God's presence, didn't move. And it took faith to move in the direction of the Jordan River with the intentions of crossing it. It took faith to, come on, let's think about it. We're going over there and there's this river and there's no boats around. Okay, let's start moving. That took faith. Faith is not knowing. Well, I'll do it, Pastor. I'll do it. But can you explain it to me a little more? No. Because faith is not knowing. Amen. Not knowing. They were at a place. They were at this place. And if they were going to make it, they had to experience God's guidance and his presence. So what do you do when you're at those thresholds? Each of us personally, every person here, know that you have approached thresholds in your life. You may be at one right now. What do you do when you approach those thresholds of never being this way before? And what as a church do we do? We've never been this way before. Number one is to know it is all about him. It is all about him and his presence. The Ark of the Covenant is the star for those people on the side of the Jordan. They were totally dependent upon God. And we have to keep our eyes totally upon Jesus. Amen? We have to keep our eyes totally upon Jesus. The other question is, whose glory is it? Chapter 5, we see in Joshua that Joshua encounters the pre-incarnate Jesus, the commander of the host. And Joshua says, are you for us or are you against us? The implied answer was neither. Joshua, the question is for you. Are you with me? See that? That's it. Are you with me, says the commander of the hosts. It's not about us. So for a moment there, Joshua got it a little mixed up. Folks, it's not about us in this way. In this way that we've never been before. It's not about us. It's all about him. Or else, it's another trip around the mountain. If it ever gets about us, I'm sorry. Around and around we go. That little nursery rhyme I almost got there. But the miracle round. I mean, we go around it again. The moment we think it's about us, it's not about us. In as great and marvelous and wonderful you are. But it's not about you. Amen. It's about him. Amen. It's about him. When we obey God, he is responsible for the outcome. Yeah. Isn't that good? Yeah. Isn't that good? We want to say, well, we got to make it happen. No, no, no. If it's about God, he makes it happen. He's responsible for the outcome. It's about obedient to his voice. Joshua said, then he said this. Here's the part that's going to jar you, okay? This part might jar you. But now Joshua said, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The older generation that left Egypt were murmurers, complainers, and they never got the chance to pass this way. They never got the opportunity to be led into the promises of God because they complained amongst each other and desired the onions and the leeks of Egypt. Oh, the smell. It can do some serious damage to your steadfastness, right? Come on now. We are in the army of the Lord. What's that smell? Oh, you follow me? That time we spent in Egypt, that desire that totally quickened our flesh man, that awakened things in us that ought not to have been awakened, perhaps, especially as young as we were when it happened. And now we get a sniff, we get a smell, we get the smell of that onion. Oh, I love onions. And so the desire was there, and they complained, we should have never left it. Now, at the place of the crossing, God was about to take them to the place. So he says, that place in your heart, make that place in your heart right. I'm taking you to a place, but there's a place in your heart. It's got to be made right so you can qualify for the place that I've prepared for you. In other words, sanctify yourself. I believe we are about to cross over into territory that our parents and other generations could have many times before, but did not. There is some stubbornness there, like the people from Egypt. I believe God is awakening us to get us ready, because in the morning, he said, I'm coming in the morning of the third day. Remember that? When this whole journey started off, he said, I'm coming in the morning of the third day. And he also said, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former temple. He said, in 3 days I'm coming, so get ready. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years, right? 1,000 years is a day. This is the third millennium. Third day. I'm coming in the morning of the third day. Third thousand. A day is 1,000. 1,000 is a day. I'm coming in the morning. You think God is not big enough to speak to the people at the foot of Mount Sinai and not also speak to us at the same time? You think God wasn't speaking to us then? What a coincidence! It all pans out. And so he said, I'm coming, get ready. We're in the third day, and we have to walk a spirit-filled life, being an example to the world. Crossing denominational barriers. Hear this now, and I'm almost done. Crossing denominational barriers to reach out and love our brothers and sisters is just as frightening for us as it was for the Israelites in crossing the Jordan. But we must cross it. Wow. Did you hear what I just said? I got to say it again because I don't know if I got that. Wow. Crossing denominational barriers. Tearing down those dividing walls. Wow. That's scary, isn't it? But see, if we are being led by the Spirit of God, the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, as it were, don't you think we have a better covenant? Well, we got a great covenant, right? And we're following the covenant. I mean, we are bought with a price. We're blood bought. We're redeemed. And our salvation is secure. And so we don't have to fear. We're keeping our eyes on the covenant. We're secure, right? We're following the presence, the Ark of the Covenant. And so to break down denominational name tags and barriers, dividing walls, we're going to experience something we could not experience otherwise. We can't experience it. And so when we recognize the body of Christ, we're now in a place where God says, now, this is where, welcome. You're in a place now where I commands a blessing. It's called the place of commanded blessing when we arrive there. Wow. Did you feel a little resistance now? Like, well, be careful. That journey around the mountain is tiresome. Don't go there. Let's get ready to cross over in Jesus' name. Can we do that? You know what? We're in a place where we've never been before. God is doing things in other churches. I believe the Lord is going to open up opportunities for us. I want you to pray for us, the ministerial in this town, this week. We are meeting again this week. And I believe the Lord is going to do something so profound and special in that meeting with the ministerial. I believe it's pivotal. I believe we got to get it right in order to see what God wants to do in this region. We're gone beyond the generation where it's superheroes. This is about the body. Yes. This time is about the body of Christ. And we've got to recognize his body throughout the community so that the world may know what a disciple looks like. Yes. That's how they're going to know, he said. I believe as we sanctify ourselves, cleanse ourselves from the prejudice and blindness and unwillingness to recognize his body and to embrace one another in love, we will see and experience the Ark of his presence manifested right before our very eyes. We have already felt the wind of God, but I want a Holy Ghost hurricane that will blow away the dross of religion and pride until we see Jesus high and lifted up in every church and every home in Charlotte County and all touched with household salvation. Get ready! Get ready! Get ready! It's going to happen in Charlotte County in Jesus' name. But we've never been this way before. They were about to enter and possess the promised land. The promises of God. Every promise. Have you sung that? Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in his word. Divine, is it? Every promise in the book is mine. Is it really? It can be. It can be. We just need to cross over the river. A dangerous, scary place. We need to cross over. We need to tear down some barriers, some dividing walls. Within our church also. See, let's not kid ourselves. I know this is getting repetitive. It's grounds for a lynch mob. I know that. But imagine the power. The power that would be unleashed in the midst of a people who choose to love each other unconditionally. Imagine the power and the promise in the book would be mine if we honor each other above ourselves and from this moment on recognize each other according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. See, our problem is we see flesh. God says, see by way of the Spirit. I'll do the judging. They're about to enter and possess the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And just like you, God had more in store for them than they could imagine. Just like you. More than you can imagine, Family Worship Center. Say with me, God got more in store for me than I can imagine. God got more in store for me than I can imagine. This is the generation of faith. Their parents had all died in the wilderness and as a result of unbelief. But this was a new generation led by Joshua. And this is a new generation. I want to be part of a new generation at 61 and a half. New generation. A youthful generation. They were people who were about to follow through on the promises of God. They would not make the same mistake as their parents. They would not get into their destiny and say the giants were too big and they were too small and we are too small. They're not going to do that. And we're not going to do that in Jesus' name. We're not going to allow anything to stand in our way. Say, we can't do that. That's too big. It's going to attract too much attention. What are people going to say? No, no, no. Those giants are not too big. And we are not too small to conquer every foe in Jesus' name. This was a generation that had a new way of thinking and believing that God is all-powerful, almighty. And if he says something, it shall surely come to pass. It shall surely come to pass. Joshua said, sanctify yourselves, consecrate, purify, cleanse, make yourself holy. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. God is still saying the same thing to his church today. God has got a new level for your life to go to. He's got a new level for you to go to. He's got bigger authority for you to realize. Sidney Jacobs says this, sanctification is a process in which you become more like Christ. How many want to become more like Christ? Amen. It's a process where you become more like Christ. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, are we included in God's sin-conquering death? Dead with him, buried with him, risen with him, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Are we included in Christ's sin-conquering death? We also get included in his life-saving resurrection. Truly, we have not been this way before. Now, I think it's appropriate that this is Mother's Day. And I'm going to get that mic here that belongs to, can we, is there, you get that there? And we're going to put it there. And what we want to do is, you know, something very powerful happened last Mother's Day. It was right after Mother's Day that a very generous man, a woman in this congregation, donated the building for the youth center. And I believe, in seeking the Lord this week, Mother's Day is a significant time. And what the Lord showed me was Father's Day, 1995. Father's Day, 1995, there was a great outpouring of the Spirit of God that began in Pensacola, Florida, and is still burning fires, igniting fires around the world today. Millions of people visited, got saved, on fire for God. And I believe that if you would embrace, I believe the Lord is saying today, if you would embrace where we are as a church, I really want you to hear this now. If you would embrace where we are as a church, to say, yes, we, Pastor, we embrace the vision of dying to self, loving one another, making it right, honoring one another above ourselves, recognizing the body of Christ in this house, but also other places in the community where people gather for worship. We've got to do it. There's too much at stake. The promises of God that we cannot walk into unless we recognize his body. For this reason, he said, many are sick. We want to see more people healed. We want to see dead brought back to life again. We want to see blind eyes open. Well, then this is the key that the Lord is giving us, that we recognize his body. And so I believe what the Lord is saying to us on this pivotal day, it's not Father's Day, but it's Mother's Day. And I believe as mothers would come and pray, I'm asking you to pray that being a mother, representing the one that gives birth, representing that part of the gender that God used to give birth to all of us, that if you would come and pray, Lord, you see, because my teaching is not going to get anywhere unless by the Spirit of God makes it real to you. And if you can see it, then you can have what hitherto you couldn't have. And if you can see it and follow him, our eyes on the prize, the Lord Jesus and his presence, then you know what? This church will go to the level that God had in mind for all along. We're just at the place we've never been. We've come to the crossroads. Now we need to have that birth out. You see that? By embracing this vision that we will love. It sounds repetitious, but I'm not going to apologize what I know the Spirit of God is saying. And it need not be repetitious if we just get it. We don't need to say it again. We just need to get it. We can move on to the next topic, Lord, right? We just need to get it. I'm choosing to love you. I'm asking you to choose to love each other. Choose. It's going to break dividing walls. And Charlotte, can you imagine Charlotte County attracting CNN, attracting news media from Europe? What do you do as churches here? Tell us what, because we're hearing about it over in Pakistan somewhere. I don't know. Some weird place over there. You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't that be cool? The key is right here this morning. And mothers, would you come and pray that by the Spirit of God, not by might, not by power, by my Spirit, says the Lord, that this being Mother's Day, let something get birth out in Charlotte County, that the whole county would embrace, recognize one another, the body of Christ. Can we do that? Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want you to search your hearts now. I want to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, every lady in this house, Lord, that you would have speak life into this vision. Every lady, every mom, and you don't have to be a mom, every lady, Father, I pray that there will be a spiritual birthing out in the atmosphere this Mother's Day. It would be as significant as what happened in 1995 on Father's Day. Now, Lord, bring the balance into the atmosphere in Jesus' name. In the spirit realm, we want to see folks saved. We want to see believers filled with the Holy Ghost. We want to see hospital rooms be emptied out when we go in, that the sick be healed right then and there. In fact, miracles. We want to see it. It's the promises in the book. And they're mine, and they're yours. But we will not step into the promises and receive that until we recognize the body. I hope you're getting this. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. So I challenge you, moms. I'm asking you, you did it last Mother's Day. I'm asking you to come this time. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, touch every heart. Touch every heart in the house today. Vindicate, Lord, today. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Pastor. We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like a copy of this message or any other message, you can contact us by writing Family Worship Center, P.O. Box 1092, St. George, New Brunswick, E5C2G8, or call us at area code 506-755-3759. You can also visit us online at www.stgeorgefwc.ca. You can also find us on Facebook. On behalf of pastor, staff, and congregation of the Family Worship Center, we would like to welcome you to join us as we all meet together at 10:30 a.m. right here at the Family Worship Center in St. George, New Brunswick. Until next week, God bless, and have a blessed week.